Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, and we'll begin at verse 22, where we left off last week. So let me read the rest of the chapter, chapter 20, from 22 to the end of the chapter. It says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanses evil away, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." And as we look at these scriptures here, we go back to verse 22 and look at some of this a little more closely. It says, "Say not thou." Let me find my place again. My glasses are acting up here. Blame it on that. Yeah, "I will recompense evil." And we know that vengeance belongs to the Lord. It's not our responsibility to pay back evil for evil. It's not our job to not get mad to get even, as we say, because that's the Lord's responsibility there. Notice what it says to do. It says, don't say, "I will recompense," but wait on the Lord. Seems like God keeps telling me to wait. And that's one thing I don't like to do. Wait on the Lord. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Wait on the Lord. When it talks about waiting on the Lord, this word wait is a Hebrew word that has to do with being bound and joined together with someone or with an event in the future. And notice the joining together in this verse. He says, wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. He will deliver thee from what? From the evil. That word evil in the verse has to do with calamity. And so somebody has done something to bring harm to me or to cause me pain. And my initial reaction, if I'm in the flesh, is to get even with them. But it says, don't. We are working in conjunction together with the Lord. And we wait for the Lord. And the Lord will take care of it. And it says, he will save thee. That is, he will deliver you through this circumstance, not necessarily from it. God doesn't always deliver us from these calamities and evils, but he delivers us through them. And we commit it to the Lord. And if we try to take vengeance ourselves and get even so that we feel good in the flesh, we've missed out. It's sort of like the Pharisees whenever they were doing things to be seen of men. Jesus said, you have your reward. That's it. No more reward from God. And so here, if we wait on the Lord and let him take the vengeance, do you think he'll do it better than we will? He always does things better than we do. And so we wait on the Lord because we are, in a sense, in a partnership connected with him. And remember, Jesus says, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so whenever people are causing calamity to us and we are part of the body of Christ, they're doing it to God. And let's let God take care of it, and he will, and we will grow closer to him. And now he says in the next verse, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord. The word abomination, remember we've shared before, it means disgusting. The Lord says there are a lot of things that are disgusting to him. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who have diverse weights, it's a false balance. The word false means to be crafty or deceitful. Remember Jacob, how he was deceitful and he swindled his brother Esau from the blessing there in the birthright? Well, God hates a swindler, someone who has a false balance. Think about balance for a minute. How important is balance? If somebody has inner ear problems, sometimes they might have problem with balance there. Can you imagine, I'm not too fond of heights anyway, being a tightrope walker? You know, how important is balance? A lot more if you don't have a net, right? What about a tire on your car that's out of balance there? And if that wheel is not balanced and you're going around, you get the wobbling and the shaking, and your whole ride is uncomfortable. Well, in our Christian walk, as we're walking with the Lord, if our lives are out of balance, it's not going to be a comfortable ride. Balance is so important. What about in your budget? If your budget doesn't balance and you have more month than you do money at the end, if you spend more than you take in, you know, you might last for a little while, but a balance there is so important. At the end of each month, you know, I balance my checkbook. I'm so glad I don't have to do it the old-fashioned way. I don't know if I could do it the old-fashioned way anymore. Remember when you used to have to get that paper and you have to write down all the stuff on the back of your check and then you have to balance your check? Did y'all ever balance a checkbook that way? Well, nowadays in Quicken, it's so much easier. You know, you just check this one and check that one until it comes out to zero, and it's so easy to balance it now to make sure everything is cleared. And when I get my bank statements every month, I balance it. Because a false balance is not good. If I find out I have more than what I thought I did, that happened last month. I had a deposit, not one of the paychecks, they never miss out, but had another deposit I'd made that I'd forgotten to put it in Quicken. And so when I was balanced, I said, well, I don't have this money. And I looked and I said, oh, I haven't got to enter that. I've got more money than I thought I did there. Didn't last very long because I already had somebody waiting for it. You know, as soon as you get it, you give it to someone else there. But balance is so important, whether we're riding, whether we're balancing a budget, whether we're walking. You know, as people get older, I watch my dad as he gets up now. Sometimes he gets up from the chair, you know, and before he can start walking, he's got to steady himself and get his balance. He's got a cane there that he doesn't need for walking, but sometimes he needs it when he first gets up. To balance, because if he falls, loses his balance, especially in older years, there you can hurt yourself. And so a false balance, getting back to verse 23, a false balance is not good. And so we need to have balance. And he talks about balancing something in just a little bit. We'll see some things we need to balance out in our lives. But let's look at verse 24 before we get there. It says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? The word man here is used twice, but it's two different words totally. The first word, where it says man's goings, is the word that is often used in Scripture for a valiant man, a warrior, somebody that's mighty. It has to do with a male who is at the peak of his strength there. And so here, concerning that kind of man, it says that warrior, that strong man, his goings are of the Lord. So even the mightiest man, he's not going in his own strength. He's going in the Lord's strength. So now the next part of the verse says, how can a man? And that word man is just a generic word for a common person. So if the mighty warrior's going serve the Lord, then how can the simple common man, how can he understand his own way? And so whenever we look at this, the Lord determines the outcome of the way, whether it's a mighty warrior, whether it's just a common person there, it's the Lord's doings there. So man's goings are of the Lord, and even the common man, how can he understand his own way? Every time we see that phrase in the Bible, it probably, it does to you like it does to me, reminds you of Isaiah 53, where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And man can devise his own way, whether he is a common man or whether he's a mighty man. As James says, you know, we can say today I'm going to do this or tomorrow, but God determines the outcome. And it doesn't matter the strength of a man. God is in charge, and I'm thankful for that. Now verse 25 says, it is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy. The word snare has to do with a noose. It's like putting a noose around your neck there to devour that which is holy. It has to do with being what we would say sometimes sacrilegious there. And don't we see a lot of that in our nation today? Just no respect for that which is holy. And not just from the unchurched people. Sometimes you see it priests or preachers where they are misusing the position that God has put in a place of honor and power. And whenever they do that, it says here they are devouring that which is holy. So it says it's a snare to a person who does that. And then after, he vows to make inquiry. That is, to he's going to search it out. So he devours it. He says what he wants to say, which is destructive. And then he goes about searching it out. It's kind of backwards, isn't it, there? If we are in doubt about something, then we should keep our mouths shut. And so, but rather, here he is devouring it first and then seeking out the answers. Verse 26, a wise king scatters the wicked and brings the wheel over them. We talked last week about how the wise king uses his eyes. And we gave the illustration about students in school. When a teacher is watching over them and they know you're looking at them, they're less likely to try something there. But as soon as you turn your back, then they're going to try it. And they're pretty crafty about that, aren't they? Know when we're looking there. But a wise king, he's going to be able to scatter away the wicked and bring the wheel over them there. So God has given authority to kings and those in leadership there. And God has given government authority. He bears not the sword in vain. We read in Romans that God has given that authority there. Now verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The word spirit in Hebrew is the word ruach, and it's sometimes translated spirit, it's sometimes translated breath, and it's sometimes translated wind. And you have to look at the context to see which one it's referring to. And Genesis 2:7 talks about God breathed into man the breath of life. It's the same word as spirit here. And so the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And that's like a lamp. God uses the spirit of man, and this is sometimes used to refer to man's conscience there. God has placed in us a conscience, an internal control. And the Bible talks about making sure that we don't get the conscience calloused or seared so that it is not responsive to the Holy Spirit speaking. As God comes through and he starts shining the light on areas to help us see the dirty spots and the splinters that need to be removed, he works on our conscience there. The spirit of man the candle of the Lord. And notice what he searches there with his candle. He's got his light out and he's searching all the inward parts of the belly. This word searching is an idea of for something that is not in an obvious location. So it's searching for something that's hidden secretly away. And that's what God does to our hearts. He searches those hidden parts of the heart because he wants us to see what he sees so that we can ask forgiveness and get it out and then be able to have better balance in our walk with him. And so he says the inward parts of the belly. Now look down if you will, and we'll be there in just a minute. The last verse, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. So we see that verse in verse 27 and also in verse 30. So keep that thought in mind as we go back up to verse 28 now. Mercy and truth preserve the king. Remember we were talking in verse 23 about balance? And here we have mercy and truth. And we're long ways into Proverbs now, and we've seen mercy and truth quite a bit as we've gone through this. And balancing them is so important in our walk with the Lord, especially I think of the example of bringing up children. If a person is too much one way, if they're too merciful and permissive is what we call it, and bringing up kids, if they're just permissive and permissive, letting them have their way, you know, that's not going to be good. But if they hold to the truth and justice and they never show mercy, you know, it's black and white, there's never gray, and they're just going to hold them to it, and they're just unmerciful, then that's not good either. And so it's important to have that balance. God is truth, and God has justice. But aren't you glad he has mercy? And he mixes that together, and that creates the balance because the justice of God and his truth was placed on Jesus, and the mercy was extended to us. And so in our walk with the Lord, it's good for us to learn to have mercy and truth. Hold people to truth. Hold people to what's right in the Word of God, but don't discard mercy either there. Remember that we receive God's mercy, and we don't want to forbid others from having it from us as well. So mercy and truth, it says, preserves, guards or protects us. Mercy and truth help keep balance there, and a false balance is not good. And it says, and his throne, the king's throne, is upholden by mercy. Mercy is what supports and sustains the king. What about you? Does mercy uphold and support you? Where would we be without it? God's mercy upholds us every day. And if we forbid it from someone else who has, as we saw in verse 22, who has brought evil to us, and we're going to recompense evil for them rather than show mercy, when God has shown mercy to us, so therefore we wait on the Lord. And he's much better at balancing this mercy and truth than we are there. And so we leave it in his hands, and he will preserve us even as it preserves the king. Verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, the splendor. This word glory has to do with rank. Think of a high-ranking military officer. Aren't their uniforms just fascinating? You look at these uniforms and you see all the medals and the stripes and the bars and, you know, all of the decorations. And that's the idea of the word glory here. And this general or whatever his rank may be, there's strength in that. The glory of young men is their strength. But the beauty of old man, it's not so much the medals and the stripes and the bars and all the ornaments that he wears, but it's the gray hair, which is an indication, a testimony that he has survived many years there. Now we come to verse 30. And in my Bible, I've kind of put a bracket around verse 27 and verse 30 and drawn a line to them because they are certainly connected, because both of them are having to do with the inward parts of the belly. And verse 27, we saw that it had to do with the conscience of man, the spirit of man, his conscience. The Lord searches it out with a candle, and he convicts our conscience there. And he does that to cleanse us, as we see in verse 30. He says, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. And sometimes pain is used, inflicted on someone to bring about healing. Growing up, I love Westerns. I still enjoy watching them when I have time, you know. I mean the old Westerns, you know, Lone Ranger and Gunsmoke and those things. And so you see people get shot. And so the bullet's in there. And what do they have to do to get that bullet out? Well, they're not as graphic as some of the shows are today. Your imagination was enough. You know, they usually pour some, give them some liquor or something, they bite a bullet, and they get that thing, and they cut it out and pull it out, and it's painful. But what if they leave it in? That's worse. So they inflict pain. And that's what this is talking about. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. And speaking of bringing up children, it says, if thou beatest him with the rod, what's the rest of the verse say? He won't die. You know, spanking's not going to kill someone. We had an issue at school this week where I had to deal with a little 3 or 4 year old that really needed it badly, and it was everything I could do not to, but the parents don't believe in spanking. So I walked around with this little girl and for about 30-35 minutes, and she was screaming and pitching a fit, and I'm thinking the blueness of the wound would cleanse away evil. So I walked around with her, and she, I want my mom. And I says, no. We're learning to obey. No. Every time I said, we're learning to obey, it made her madder. So I kept saying it. You know, we're learning to obey. But the scriptures talk about the blueness of a wound. It will cleanse away evil there. And then he makes the comparison at the end. So do stripes, the inward parts of the body. And so the stripes have to do with discipline as well. Discipline works for the inward illnesses, and the outward problems that man has stem from the inward problems, the heart. And so we deal a lot of times with the symptoms there, but God deals with the heart. And so in verse 27, we see God deals with the conscience there. And sometimes God deals with the actions as well, with the blueness of a wound. But all of the Lord's doings to us are to help us in our walk with him, to help us with balance. A just balance is not good, just like that tire that's not balanced and makes life rough there. And so we need the balance of the Lord. And whenever the Lord is working on us, whether working on our conscience or working on the outward things, God is doing it to draw us closer to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit who works in our hearts and draws us closer to you. Father, we thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And your word is a lamp and it's a light. And it guides us and it shows us the dirty spots and the splinters. And we thank you that the blood of Christ cleanses all of those things immediately whenever we confess our sins. You indeed are faithful and just to forgive us. We thank you for the balance of mercy and truth that you show us. Help us that we might walk in mercy and truth before you and before others as well. In Christ's name, amen.